Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. So tonight, I am welcoming Brian Traficante.
Greetings, everybody.
Hey, Brian. So Brian is one of my energy healing experts. This is when we first met. I'm going to jump right into it. Hey, everybody. This is Brian. We've known each other for a long time, so it's going to be pretty casual.
Yeah.
I first met you, I think, was at Patty's place.
The Mind's Eye in Warwick.
Rhode Island on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Where she kind of had a free night where you could go experience some things like card readings and Reiki and stuff like that, you know. So I saw it advertised somewhere. I went up there and I look over and I see Brian, who I've never met before, over there doing, like, somebody described it once as like Tai Chi, yeah, Reiki surgery or something.
Yeah, I got that a lot.
Yeah, so I see him over there, and you know, somebody's on a Reiki table, and out in. And there's other stuff going on all around you, and you just had it completely blocked out, and you were just doing this, like, psychic surgery on somebody there, and the arms were flying, and the energy was moving, and it was like, I was like, okay, what the hell is this? You know, it was pretty interesting. And hey, we got Laura and Sarah. Thanks for joining us. Can you see the comments, Brian?
Up to me.
There's private chat and then comments.
Yep, I can see them now. Yeah, thank you.
So, I saw Brian doing all this stuff, and I was like, okay, wow, this is kind of cool. And I don't know if I was attuned to Reiki yet or not, but
I don't think you were, because when you were going through your attunement process, I think after Reiki 1, we started doing things at your place.
Yes, that's right, because I did, and I got my attunement through Patty.
Yep.
There. So once we, you know, that's kind of how I am. As soon as it's decided, like, okay, I'm doing this, then I go do it. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so I figured what better way that to have you there doing it. And then when I get attuned, I think I had you just do it on your own. And then when I got attuned, we had two rooms going, and I would kind of give people a little, you know, basically more like a relaxation Reiki experience and kind of tone them out. And then they'd go over to the other room and sit down with you, and you'd go in and do some real deep stuff with them.
Yep.
So like, let's start with the Reiki stuff. I mean, you know, what's your definition of what it is, and what's your particular flavor of how you do it? Because it's kind of, you seem to have your own individual style to some degree.
Yeah. And, you know, to give you a really as short as I possibly can of a backstory, I went to go have cards read, and her name was Daisy, and she also works at the Mind's Eye, and she said, you have an opportunity coming up. It was probably 27, 28 at the time, and she said, you have an opportunity to engage and learn in these, I'll call them extracurricular things, and your children will have the same gifts, or you can let it pass you by. Well, I'm a curious guy, and I like to explore the unexplored, so that's all I needed to hear. And then I found out that Patty McGarahan was a master and was able to teach the courses. And I got connected with her. And then I just started the process. I went through Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3, and Reiki Master, got certified through her as my mentor. And the one thing that I loved about her teaching style was that you had the basics and the fundamentals. But as you got more comfortable, she kind of let you find your own way you know, as long as, you know, with energy, it is, as long as you have your intent and you're doing what you are, what's the word I'm looking for? You're doing your best to do right by others, right?
Yeah.
Like it, how it gets there kind of works itself out. It really does. It just kind of works itself out. And then the free Tuesday night thing is something that was her give back to the community thing, where once a month I would go in and multiple others would go in for different modalities of those services and give people an experience to try out without it costing them a dime and try it out and see what they liked and what they didn't. And then everything went from there. Yeah. So over the course of a 3 to 4 year process, I became Reiki Master Certified. And yeah, a lot of people, because of the martial arts background and the way I moved around the table and whatnot, a lot of them said, "You're the Tai Chi guy." And I'm like, "Well, okay, yeah, all right. I can see where you're getting that."
Yeah.
But you had talked about psychic surgery. And really what I did when I started investigating all that stuff is I really just pushed the limit. I'm like, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. And Patty was there to guide me the whole way as I was asking her questions. I'm like, okay, like the psychic surgery, can you do this? And she was like, yeah. And she showed me how, and like everything is energy. So like you had talked about psychic surgery. So if I wanted to say I felt, saw, whatever verb you want to throw in there, something that didn't feel quite right, like it was an imbalance in your energy field, then I would just like, I would visualize extending a blade from my fingers and then just going into the energy field, cutting it out, and then using like a 3-finger forceps to extend and go in and pick it up and then throw it. And, you know, I like to be green. I like to recycle. So I would ask for like a white light portal, if you will, to throw the negative energy into so it could be transmuted. And then I would ask for healing energy to come down and fill the space left behind. And then that's pretty much how it went through. And a lot of times I would close my eyes and allow myself to sense everything and just kind of follow around. Specifically on certain areas of the body, I kept my eyes open no matter what, because I always wanted people to be comfortable. And I would always ask for permission if I felt the need to touch, because a lot of Reiki is they touch you. Like there's certain positions that you hold the head a certain way. You hold an arm, you touch this or that and the other. I didn't want people feeling uncomfortable. So I always stayed in their energy field and I never touched unless I was directed to do so. And we might be able to get into the directed to do so later. But, and I would always ask, I'd be like, listen, I'm being told that I should touch you for more penetration, more potent penetration for the energy to get through to do what it needs to do. And they would always say yes. And if somebody had said no, I would say, okay, no problem. And then I would just put the intent that it would just penetrate deeper. Because, you know, it's always about making sure the client feels comfortable and relaxed.
Right, because that leaves them open for whatever that needs to happen can happen, because that's kind of the only thing, you know. It's like, it's, I mean, for the most part, like I found with Reiki that a lot of people, like belief wasn't needed. Like you didn't,
you mean like,
somebody that I was, a lot of people that I did Reiki on, especially when we were doing it at my house, I was just corralling anybody that I could find to come do Reiki. So a lot of times it was people from the gym that I worked at that had, you know, they didn't have any belief systems in spirituality or Reiki or energy work. A lot of them didn't even know what it was. So, but they would, you know, lay on the table, and I was probably about 75% no touch as well.
Yeah.
About like if I was doing something physical, like a physical injury.
Yes.
A lot of times I would touch, but other than a physical injury that I was actually trying to heal, anything emotional or energetic or something, I generally didn't. So, but like a lot of people, they'd be, you know, they didn't know what Reiki was, or, and I'm just like, just lay down, close your eyes and focus on your breathing, you know? Yep. And then all of a sudden they'd, you know, I'd be at the end and I'd be like, oh, okay, you're all done. And they'd wake up and they'd be like, what the hell was that? You know, like, Yeah. You know, and I mean, I specifically had people with like type A personalities go like, what did you do to me? Yeah. Because like, I never relax like that ever. And as soon as I just closed my eyes, started breathing, I don't remember anything until you just said, wake up. I was just completely like in a, almost, they didn't even have the words because it's not like they meditated, you know, right. They're like, but they're kind of like in a meditative, completely relaxed state. And I'm like, yeah, that's the Reiki energy. That's, you know, so there's no, you don't have to believe in it, but it does help that to not have a block against it. You know, right. I've only experienced somebody that had a block maybe one or two times, but they were just like, you know, this isn't going to work. This is, well, then, you know, then sit there and lay angrily on the table. Yeah. And it probably won't go well.
Right. But, and you know, and that's a funny thing that you bring up. Like, people don't need to understand it, believe in it, have any kind of religious belief or anything else. The only thing they need to do is want to be there for some sort of benefit of themselves. And the rest of it just takes care of itself. The best way I think I described it previously, way back, was like, the Reiki practitioner, master, what have you, is like the lamp that's plugged into the light socket. The light socket represents universal energy that we, through the attunements, gain access to, or I should say more readily access to, and then we just provide the light because we can call it in. So we call it in and then direct the light where we feel it should go based on what the information we're getting from the patient in front of us in terms of their body. Like, I even had people come in, they're like, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm like, okay, don't. It's fine. I'm going to tell you what I feel. I'm not asking you to create some elaborate story or just, you know, let me know, like, do you have pain over here? Okay. The reason why I'm asking you is because for me, so I would scan the body with my hand. I would project, like, I would imagine, like, some sort of medical instrument that just had, like, an array, like a cone of light that would go over. And then when I got to a certain area, I needed to know, for me, I had a tremor like that. And that was my body's signal to me, like, hey, there's an imbalance here, no matter how great or small. And depending on the severity of the tremor, let me know whether it was a big deal or a slight deal. I could sometimes gauge how old the injury was because I would be shown an image of like a child or a teenager or a young adult or something of that nature. But it's very, very interesting how when you start getting into this stuff, like all this other information starts coming in that you have no freaking clue where it came from, what it is. You know it's not yours because they're not your memories, and you know it's not anything to do with you personally. And so you're a beacon and you're receiving so that you can help.
Yeah. And that's it. It's so you can help. And it's like the, like I got moved to start doing some type of energy work, which surprised me because I was very, like I had awoken spiritually and I was studying all this, these spiritual teachers and all this stuff. And like, I kind of saw myself as a conduit for information at some point. Yep. I don't think I was really there yet, but it was more that style. I never saw myself doing energy work, although I liked to experience it here and there and I like to experience all kinds of stuff. So when I was into that, I was experiencing all different things along those lines. But when I got pulled to do energy work, I was like, really? I'm like, that's weird. But there's a lot of different types of energy work out there, which we'll get into as the conversation goes.
Yep.
But when I started looking into it, somebody said to me that Reiki is Rei and Ki, and Rei is divinely guided and Ki is like Chi, like life force energy. So basically it's divinely guided life force energy. Yep. And I was like, okay, so somebody said this and something clicked in my brain and I looked at him and I go, so does that mean I can't screw this up? And they're like, yeah, like, and I'm like, okay, all right. I think I'm getting excited here. So divinely guided, that means the divine guides it and I can't screw it up. And they're like, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm in. That's what I'm getting. I'm going to do the Reiki thing.
And that's actually the biggest thing that gets in the way of providing access to that energy for the lamp, if you will, to direct it is ego. Like, as soon as you start saying things like, I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, or they didn't heal because I, like, as soon as you start forming that mindset, you're already diminishing your ability to help others and help yourself, because it's not up to you. Like I said, we provide the access. It's really up to the other person whether or not they want to heal. And that's tricky, because everybody's like, I want to heal. Yeah, it's easy to say the words. But if you've got in the back of your mind some kind of self-defeating principle that's still back there, mm-hmm. we could work on you for months and it won't change until that mindset changes.
No, it's like that is money. If you yeah. you can ask anybody, say, hey, would you like a whole bunch of money? Who's going right? to say no?
Right?
Everybody, absolutely. How many yeah. people have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because it's a mindset. You know, so yeah. so it's deeper, you know,
there's,
and I
mean, always work involved.
Yeah, I have to always go deeper to get through that. But yeah, the other interesting thing about Reiki that I like with us is that it's so different. Like a lot of I think you're kind the way I perceive it is you're kind of to some degree. I don't know if this is fair or not, but you're kind of at one end of the spectrum and I'm kind of at the other. Whoa, Faith. Sorry, the dog started flipping out.
Oh, it's only a matter of time before mine jump in. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, mine doesn't usually. I think somebody's right outside. That's why. But anyway, so like, yeah, you're like I everything I do by feel. Whether I'm life coaching, whether I'm having this conversation, whether I'm doing Reiki, it's all by feel.
Yeah,
which is fine. I'm used to it, but. Like, I don't think I was ever meant to be, like, huge into Reiki or it was going to be that big of a part of my life because it was very subtle. I never really got that much information. I didn't really see energy fields or yep. or block, you know, blocks in those energy fields much and, you know, all that. So, like, I wasn't accessing a ton of information and I don't think I was ever supposed to. But like I did all kinds of amazing, wonderful healings with people. And maybe we'll touch on a couple of those that you and I have done soon. But like, but you on the other end of the spectrum seemed that like you really saw and felt a lot and you could be very specific and you could go back and say, oh, this is, you know, this could be attached to this. And like yep. you were, you know, you could really, it really opened you up to accessing information. And I think that, even though my Reiki experience is less, we'll just say dramatic, there's not as much external visual stuff as your Reiki experience. Like what I've seen over the years is getting attuned to Reiki opens us up in more ways than just Reiki.
Yeah.
What it does is, you know, a lot of people will open up other spiritual gifts. It will open up emotional doorways that have been blocked off. People are yep. Not capable of feeling their emotions and mm-hmm. tapping into them all of a sudden can. So it really can open you up spiritually in a lot of ways. And I've actually recommended some of my clients to get attuned to Reiki when they started expressing an interest in it. And mm-hmm. that they had a block that they were struggling with, because it's like a lot of times it'll pop you through that block.
Oh yeah,
you absolutely. Know?
I had so one of the things that I was blessed to learn from Patty was she was directed to show me how to do a fight or flight reset. Mm. Right. So, like animals in the wild, you see a gazelle chased by a cheetah, right? It escapes the cheetah. At the end of the chase, it will literally shake from nose tip to tail tip to reset itself. We don't have that. Mm. That's why anxiety builds up, and that's why we carry all that crap with us. So, but again,
that's so good.
Yeah, but the way that it works is like they're only going to release and let go of whatever they're ready to release and let go. It can't be forced. And one kid that I was working with, his mom had asked me to come in and work with him. And I did I was instructed, you know, my end of the spectrum, the way I get information, to give this kid a fight or flight reset. And so I went through the process and I did it. It shocked the hell out of me because the kid came off the table 2 inches, like just popped right off the table. It was so strong.
Yeah.
And he had just graduated high school. And then within a week, like, he bounced and moved to Florida. Like, so whatever, like, and this kid was like a closet kid, like afraid of a lot of things. And it was all self-imposed, and it was just time for him to let all that crap go. And so we did, and then, like, in a week, he bounced to Florida, and he's doing awesome.
Wow. See, that's one of the stories that's so cool, because it's like if you do this stuff, you experience stuff. And, you know,
I've had some stuff scare the absolute shit out of me before.
Yeah. Like,
what the hell was that? That's a first. Okay.
Yeah, and I would call you when it happened to me. I was like, I'm not going to throw names out there, but a mutual friend of ours, I was like, I'm doing Reiki, and he was late teens, early 20s or something.
Yep.
And I'm doing Reiki, and as soon as, you know, and I'm like, is anything bothering you? And he had said that in his left shoulder, sometimes it feels like there is minimal blood flow. Like his blood flow is restrictive. And he's like, I feel it sometimes, but then I don't feel it at all. It goes away. And then I don't feel it sometimes for long periods of time. And then I'll feel it again. And I'm like, when did it start? He's like, I always remember having it, but I've never known what it is. And it's never been diagnosed as anything. And I was like, oh, all right, whatever, you know. And this is one of the beauties of energy work is, like, you know, you don't have to have a doctorate, and you don't have to, it's not an analytical intellectual exercise. It's energy, you know? So, like, I just put my two hands on his shoulder, and as soon as I did, both of his arms came up. He's laying flat on his back, and he's going like this.
Yep.
Well, and I'm freaking. I'm like,
what the hell is this?
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, is he having a seizure? Should I do something? Like, what? You know, and all of a sudden it's just like, stop, wait a minute. And I'm like, this is divinely guided life force energy. Like, nothing bad is going to happen here. We're safe. It's just love energy, man.
Yeah.
It's just nothing bad can happen. And I was like, yeah, okay, all right. So I just stay there, and I stay there. And then after, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, this little voice comes through and says, that's enough. That's enough. Right? Just let go.
Yeah.
And it was kind of half, the voice was half telling me that it was enough, and it was half telling him to let go.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's enough. Just let go. And then all of a sudden his arms just went, pew. And his whole body relaxed. And I was like, whoa. So I just kind of finish up with my Reiki. And then, you know, a few minutes later, I'm like, okay, you know, you're all set. And he sits right up and he's like, what the hell was that? And I was like, oh, you felt that? He's like, yeah, what the hell happened? I'm like, I don't know. So then I, you know, I'm like, I have no idea. You know, because I just don't get information like that usually. I mean, years later, I kind of started getting some here or there.
Yep.
With certain people a lot of times. One person I would get information with all the time. Most others I didn't, you know, it was kind of like that. But so I says, well, maybe my friend Brian, he can kind of tap into things sometimes. I says, if you want, I'll call him and see.
Yeah.
And then you were like, yeah, I'm getting the past life thing.
Yeah.
And then I think he came down and you did a past life regression with him.
Yep.
And then you were like, and you had said, correct me if I'm wrong, you had said that, like, yeah, it was a past life thing, that he had like some muscular disease, like musculotherapy or something in a past life. And they didn't really know how to treat it or do anything with it. And what happened when he incarnated into this life, he brought a patch of that along with him, and you released it.
Yeah, you know? Because what happens is divinely we know we have a new body, but the spirit has all the memories of any and every existence that you've ever done, had, or whatever. And sometimes that cell memory comes back and it just needs to be updated with like, nope, that was like 5 centuries ago. And this is where we are now. So sometimes you just got to update the cell memory.
And I love that concept. That's a concept that I use in a lot of things. It's just like the idea that our cells are like they have their own intelligence. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, like sometimes we can just remind them. We can just go into our body and say, hey, you know how like, you know, you've had this issue for last few years. Why don't you just forget that you have that issue? Why don't you remember how you were when you were born, when all the cells worked perfectly together and everything was firing out perfectly? Why don't you remember that and just remind the present cells of that knowledge of how to work perfectly together? And I'll just set that intention and I've had good success with that in certain situations.
Absolutely. And I absolutely cannot wait for science to be able to catch up, to kind of like be able to like see and quantify and just really better explain the unknown of the different things that, well, at least myself, I can do and that I experience, just so that there's data. Because so many people are logic minded, and I totally get that. And you'll find 9 times out of 10 that there is logic at the base of every skeptic that comes across. And it's totally
absolutely
fine.
I think it's right to question.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want, like, my hope is that science finds a way to quantify, develops a tool that can see what's happening. You see some stuff on Ghost Hunters where they have, like, the infrared cams where they pick up certain energies. Like, I'll never forget. Jay was doing an interview with a medium and, Grant was watching him with this thing, and you see this big red blob of energy come up over Jay and go towards this guy. And the medium just goes like this, and you can see it right on Grant's screen that it just disappears. And meanwhile, all around the medium, it's like a rainbow of colors constantly moving.
Wow.
So that was really interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that science definitely catches up with us. But that being said, diving back to what you had mentioned, the other stuff that happens is sometimes I'll have to call a client like the next day or something because information will come in. I'll be like, oh, that's connected to this and this, and they need to know that. And so then you give them the heads up. But sometimes, dude, you just got to shut it off because the spirit world doesn't sleep. And it's like, you know what? You need to go away right now. Like, I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. And like,
well, that's an important thing, is everything is based on intention, and we have more control over our experiences than people. Whoops. I bet you that was loud. My chair just broke.
You hulked out.
But the what the heck was I saying? That just surprised me.
I just got done talking about spiritual world doesn't sleep, and
so
shut it off.
We have more control over how we interact with spirituality. Like, we can say, and I think that this is a good tool for children, especially a lot of parents. You know, I've had a lot of parents come to me that are on a spiritual path, and big surprise, their kids are too. And they're like, oh, my kid's having trouble sleeping, or you know, this or that, and they think they see things and all this stuff. It's like, just get them in control. Teach them that they are in control. We have free will. Free will is the only thing that spirituality cannot override, because it's based on that. It's based on our own free will. Yeah. So like, what we can be like, hey, listen, you can't come in here and wake me up. I need to get sleep. And you can say it firmly.
Yeah.
And state that this is my life, this is my space, and you are not allowed to come visit me either at all or during these hours or whatever you want. You can set
boundaries.
Right. You can set boundaries because it's your energy, it's your consciousness, and you are in control of that, you know?
And it's unique that you mentioned kids, because up until the age of 7, they are extremely in tune. And, you know, they may tell you, like, they see things that you don't see as an adult, but it doesn't mean that they're not there. They're still so young and so innocent and ridiculously powerful on a spiritual level that they are still able to see things that we can't up until the age of 7. I can remember falling asleep holding my son's hand when he was 2 years old, and it was so vivid. He took me to this amazing temple. I could not tell you where it was, but I had never seen colors like this ever before. And it was so glistening and beautiful, and everything was just so immaculate. Hmm. And one of the biggest reasons that I remember it is because his mother at the time had come in and separated our hands. And I remember hearing him say, no. And I woke up, and that was the end of that experience. But he was literally taking me on some sort of journey into something that I can't even properly describe or draw.
I think it was autobiography of a yogi. I'm not sure, but it might have been that book where he was talking about a saint that over in India that had some sort of experience like that, like this huge temple appeared. And it was immaculate, and it was a section of the book that he was talking about that he had an experience with this temple.
Yep.
It just reminded me of it. But yeah, the kids are so open. And I mean, what so many people on the spiritual path now too, a lot of people that I've met over the years, especially ones that are mediums and stuff, they're like, yeah, I shut this down when I was a kid. I shut it down when I was a teenager. I shut it down when I was little because it scared me, or because I told some adults and they were like, no, that's not true. Or what, for one reason or another, they shut it down. And then when they got older, it started coming back, but they didn't, it started scaring them again because they didn't know what to make of it. So I think it's important to empower kids right away and just be like, hey, you're in control of this. Yep. You're in control of your own experience, because that helps them in regular life anyway. Yeah.
Every choice you make, you have control over.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a basis of spiritual teaching in general of how they can interact with life in a healthy way. But it's also to teach them to not be scared of things and that they are in control of their own experience, even on a spiritual level.
Absolutely. And any kid that has a nightmare, just flip the pillow, because sometimes there's an energy imprint. So if they lay their head back down and go right back into the same thing, they relive it sometimes. But if you flip the pillow, it's a fresh side. That negative energy imprint isn't there. And usually they'll be all right. And that's just something small that anybody could do.
Yeah, that's a cool. And that just reminded me of my son when he was little. He was still playing baseball. He was probably like 11 or something.
Yeah.
And I was doing Reiki, and he was out. There was one inning left, and he comes off the field and he runs up to me, and he's like, "Dad, my ankle hurts." And I'm like, "Okay, well, you got one inning left. Do you think you can make it?" And he's like, Yeah, I can make it. I was like, okay. So he goes back. He goes out onto the field, and the inning ends, and he comes running by me, and he goes, "I hate it when you're right," which was his little that was a little thing he used to say to me fairly often, So, yep. And I was like, "What do you mean? Right about what?" And he goes, "Oh, well, I was standing in the field, and my ankle really started bothering me, so I just put my hand, like, pointing down towards it, but not in a way that anybody would notice what I was doing."
Yeah.
And I just sent Reiki energy down to my ankle, and it felt better right away. And it's not bothering me at all now. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Right.
How do you, I didn't get into the conversation like, hey, wait a minute, you haven't been attuned to Reiki.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Because which is, you know, a nice segue into a concept, which I believe is that, you know, Reiki is one form of energy.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know technically if people can tap into Reiki without being attuned to it, or if they can't. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. I don't know. But what I do know is that I believe that we all have the ability to do energy healing without any specific attunement. We all have energy flowing through us. We all have a connection to divine source. If we just set the intention of sending that healing energy to a healing, to a place, it's going to go there, you know. You don't necessarily need to be attuned to Reiki.
I mean, in some ways that makes sense just based on the science. And this is what I'm talking about in terms of getting the science principles to kind of, in some ways, catch up. But in other ways, like what you just talked about, like the idea that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just transmutes. And right. In that situation with your son, he tapped into something. And it just, he gave it a direction and it had a purpose, and whatever his intent was, it went.
Right. And he thought it was Reiki. Yep. And, you know, whether it was or not, does it really matter?
Right. Melissa, yeah, pretty much. Yep, I would agree.
Yeah, everyone has the ability to do Reiki without being in tune. And, you know, like this is, I have no problem not knowing. I like not knowing. You know, so this is why, like, to me, the way that it makes me feel comfortable phrasing it is maybe it's Reiki, maybe it's a different form of energy. Maybe people can do Reiki, maybe they can't. Maybe someday they'll find out that they do need to be attuned to Reiki, but they could do some type of healing energy all on their own. It doesn't really matter, you know, and the science is starting to back it because, you know, maybe they can't completely scientifically prove how it works.
Right.
But they can scientifically prove that it does work.
Right.
That's why, like, a lot of hospitals are bringing Reiki in for cancer patients and stuff. So, I mean, for hospitals to be able to do to bring people in to do this, like, there's lots of legalities. They have to have certain levels of proof to be able to do that.
Has to be valid somehow, some way, for sure.
Right. And that's just action and result. Like, maybe they can't explain why it works, but they can explain that it does work.
Absolutely. And just to get back to that more subtle, if not attuned, I think of it in terms of, you know, someone's voice, right? When you match a key, you're in attunement. But if you can't match that key, you can still sing. Right. It just might not be in that tune or that, I'm forgetting the word, but thank you. That key might not be in that key. And you can apply it, the same idea, to what Melissa was just talking about in terms of, all right, it gained access to some sort of energy to help himself out. But now if he were attuned, well, think of it like a garden hose, right? Garden hose about maybe half inch in diameter and the water comes through. But now if you hook up a fire hose, that's like a 1 to 2 inch like diameter, and you're going to push a lot more water through that small space than you would because you have a bigger space to work with. And that's how I kind of think of the attunements, as you're enlarging your fire hose to carry more substance through when you go to use it.
Yeah, so here's a question that was interesting for me, because I'm generally the type of guy that goes all the way with things. Like, when I started getting attuned to Reiki, I'm like, well, you know, just knowing me as me, I'll probably get Reiki Master, which is 3 or 4, depending on the teacher. I'll probably also get Karuna and
right.
Because that's kind of an extension, and I just figured that that's what I would do. And then I get attuned to Reiki 1, and everybody was like, sometimes you need to let it sit. And I was like, nope, give me Reiki 2, which didn't surprise me because that's in alignment with my personality. It's like, bring it. So then I get attuned to Reiki 2 shortly after, And I'm expecting Bring Reiki 3 vibes.
Yeah.
Did not get Bring Reiki 3 vibes. And I'm like, oh, this must be what they're talking about when they say you have to, you know, sometimes you need to adjust to it and let it settle before you do the next attunement. And so I waited. In 6 months, a year, year and a half, 2 years, I would question, hey, should I get Reiki 3? Nope. 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 I was just, it just never, so I only am attuned to Reiki 2 still to this day, so many years later. And I think one of it for me, and this is kind of where I guess we'll branch off into different energy healings.
Yep.
I was doing Reiki and somebody else was doing card readings at their place and people would come up and, after everybody left, I was getting a reading and they're like, you're doing something and you don't know you're doing it. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, it combines everything that you've been doing for years. It combines the intuition that you developed with personal training. It uses the question asking and the skills you developed in life coaching. It includes the Reiki, working with energy that you learned doing Reiki, and it combines all of those into one very powerful healing technique using the violet flame. And I'm like,
I remember.
Huh?
Was it Saint Germain?
Yeah.
It was Saint Germain, right? Because then you ended up moving, and the house that you were, I remember the house that you were staying at in the upstairs, it had something to do where like the message of Saint Germain came through to you and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be here and da 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 da. And then you shared the violet flame with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Saint Germain is the keeper of the violet flame. So, yep. And so I moved into this house when Mateo moved in with me when he was 12, I needed to be in Coventry. So I moved to Coventry, I get this place and I was doing something with a spiritual community in Rhode Island. And this woman said, I'll swing by your house. I was very busy as a single parent and working. And so this woman was nice enough to say, hey, I'll drop off what you need in your mailbox. She says, I grew up in the area that you live. So I know the area well. And I said, oh, okay, great. So I gave her the address and told her where it was. And she's like, yeah, I know the area. So she goes there. She hadn't made a connection with the house. She leaves something in my mailbox. I come home, get it, call her up. I say, hey, I got my thing. Thank you. She's like, oh, my God, I couldn't wait till you called. So you're never going to believe this. You do the violet flame with Saint Germain. She goes, when I lived there as a kid growing up, it was this older couple that was the nicest couple. And they would talk to us kids all the time. And they're so sweet. Their names were the Saint Germains.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God, you can't make this stuff up.
No.
But I did the violet flame where, you know, where I start talking to people and the energy starts releasing already. Just in the conversation, I can feel loosening up and releasing and all this stuff. And then we gain clarity on like an old belief system that's encoded in their DNA and what they want the new belief system to be moving forward. And then we go on the table and do the energy work. And I use the violet flame to pull out the old belief system and encode the new one. And I mean, some of those sessions, 3-4 hours long and really in depth and powerful, but they'll blow out a long standing belief system in one session a lot of times, you know? And I mean, of course, as you mentioned, it depends on the person that you're working with. But I mean, I've had some tremendous, profound healings that people have experienced with that. So that's my little thing. And I was very excited because as soon as I got information, I'm like, do I need a certification for this? Because I'm not much of a school guy.
Yeah. You know? Right.
You're like, no, this is your own thing. You got to figure out how to do it yourself. So I'm like, oh, all right. So I just started trying and figured it out.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing too, like in terms of keeping the ego in check, like you don't use language like I cured this or I did that. Like you are setting yourself up for so many issues using that kind of language. You know, somebody comes in and they need the help. I'm here to help you with whatever you want to help with. And we'll see how it goes. It takes a few times. But, you know, if you're struggling to get somewhere, then we need to talk about what the block is. and figure out what that is. Because as soon as you shine light on a shadow, it loses its power. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, and sometimes admitting the block is a struggle because it is usually really deep. And sometimes it's subconscious and it's there. The block is there because at the time it was seen as something protective that was right. keeping you safe, that you don't need anymore. And then when you release it, you go back to that emotional state of when the block was created, and then you cry and you release and you talk about it. And then before you know, everybody always has that saying, right? I feel like 2 tons just came off my shoulders, you know, and you move forward. But that's how it goes. So the Reiki led me to Marlene Robinson, who I met through the mind's eye for a little while. And, you know, you were talking about things that came along your path. She was the next step for me. And she started talking to me about reconnective healing with Dr. Eric Pearl. Now, I didn't follow that all the way to where I could do attunements for reconnective healing. I just went down. I did the certification, went through. And the way I would describe that is it works with a frequency. So some people are familiar with the frequencies of like things that add up to 3, 6, and 9 and how those numbers kind of rule the universe a little bit because they're harmonious. And the way Eric Pearl explained it was that he goes, if you're doing reconnective healing, you won't be doing Reiki anymore. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit. Like, you're not going to tell me what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. Like, I'm going to do whatever I'm guided to do. And then as he went on to explain that, you know, the natural judgmental factor that comes out in all of us humans.
The rebelliousness.
Yeah, right? Like, you're not going to tell me. You know, yeah. No. But,
watch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he said the reason you're not going to is because you want to think of – he did such a great job describing it. You want to think of reconnective healing as this global umbrella of healing energies. And he rattled off a few others and put Reiki in there. And well, he said, so if you're doing reconnective healing, you've got 10 modalities. Now, you've got access to 10 modalities. You may not know, but I'm telling you, you're using 10 different modalities. Okay, fine. Now, you want to use Reiki. So whoever comes in to see you, you want to just use Reiki. You're only using one modality. Are you really helping them as much as you think you are?
Yeah.
So it's like you're using 10 versus 1. And like you sit with that and you process it. And then I had an experience because it was a three-day process. Started on a Friday night, ended on a Sunday night, and then I flew back and went to work on Monday. The thing that I had is I remember having a dream when I was down there after the first session when he starts going through and working with everybody. And he's got assistants that are walking through and helping everybody. And I had this dream. I was in a car. Now, most symbolism in dreams, when you're in a car, the car represents you. I was driving down the highway. And it was a little slippery out. And I went around this corner. I was going way too fast. I'm like, come on, baby, just hold. Just hold as I'm taking the corner. Well, it didn't hold. And the car hit a Jersey barrier and flipped up. But here's the part that got me. In the middle of the situation and the roll, I opened the door and I jumped out of the car and I grew to 100 times my normal size. And I caught the car, straddled the highway, and then set the car back down and then went back to my normal size, got in the car and took the car. And the message, I shared that with his audience. And the message that I got from that was that by being a part of this on my road, I was becoming something more than I was previously. And that was the symbolism behind that dream. And powerful, super, super powerful. But before, it's like the lamp and the light socket and the light socket being connected. Well, this time it's like you're a satellite radio and you can tune in to where it's coming from and you pull energy from constellations. Like, you literally directly tap into different energies all around the universe. And I couldn't even tell you where most of it is coming from. I just feel, I'm like, I'll hold my hand up and start swinging it. And I'm like, all right, where is it? And then I'll lock on and then I'll just channel and I'll have it come in this way and go out that way. And And it's channeled mostly, even though I still use my hands, through the eyes.
So, and what's cool about that is this is the one where that it's kind of opposite of a lot of energy healings, that the distance, which I found so unique about this, because you, like, as you described this, like what I had a rib out that was like in my back that was spasming all my back muscles. And I figured out it was a rib. And then I went to a chiropractor and I had no money back then. And he was like, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is a rib. And he popped it back in place and he goes, this thing's been out for a while. It's probably going to pop right back out in a short period of time, but you're good for now. And it was like a free little treatment. So sure enough, a week later it was out. So after a little while, I went to you and I says, Brian, you know, you got this energy stuff. And can you try the rib thing? And you were like, yeah, sure, I'll try it. So as you were doing it, you know, I would open my eyes and peek every once in a while, and I'd see you across the freaking room.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
This is a new version of Tai Chi.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden I felt that rib move, shift, and that was, I mean, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
It's never gone back out since.
Yeah.
You know, which was incredible. So like this is, so maybe you can explain to them like what you were doing and how the distance worked as to, you know, because that's what I saw that really surprised me when I opened my eyes.
So it's not that it's not powerful when you're close, but the further away you get for whatever reason, when doing reconnective healing, it's more powerful the further away you get. And I mean, I've been right next to somebody and they had four of us working on one person at that training thing. And I had the left arm and everybody else was kind of going through and doing their thing. And her, I was like really as close to her as I am, my wife right now. And her left arm was bouncing like a fish out of water. Mm-hmm. And they came over and started talking to me and they're like, oh, you know, this really connects with you. And I was like, okay. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. They said, move your hands in circles to feel the field, which I could do. And then just start pulling. Imagine there's puppet strings on your hands and just pull. And so that's what I started doing. And then the more I pulled back, and then I could feel the click that happened in you. And because I have my own ways of receiving information. And that's how I know when I'm done.
And that's crazy. Cool. So it's like you're like way back here, like pulling puppet strings.
And that's how he described it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you were literally across the room from me.
Yeah.
You know, going like this. And I'm like, okay, that's definitely a new version of Tai Chi.
Yeah.
So, but this is, and you had, and I guess we should probably wrap up. We're almost at an hour already.
Wow, I went by fast.
I know, it flew, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, I wanted to see if, like, you told me a story about your toe. Didn't you break your toe? Or
yes, I was reading the Aragon series at the time. And so what I do is I try to keep my mind like that of a child in terms of innovative and always thinking. And Aragon, the guy is learning how to use magic, right? Which magic is energy. Right. So everybody who can relate to this, I was going to get in the shower and I freaking smashed the hell out of my pinky toe on whatever the lip was. And oh my God, it was so painful. I'm like, I think I dislocated it or something. I'm like, well, let's put this into action. I just got done reading a part of the book where he had completely repaired his brother's shoulder because his shoulder had a wicked wound on it. And he just focused on it. So I did the same thing with my toe and it went just like that. And I didn't even touch it. I just focused and I was like, ah, done. That was it. And I was like, oh, all right. Everything works just fine. Beautiful. And then I finished my shower and moved on with my day. But I've had other people that had bursitis and they were runners. And that's crippling to a runner because running is their sanity. And they're like, I haven't been able to run. And they talk about this. So when I went to figure out how I would help them, I imagined like a drain sticking out of the hip that would just allow whatever shouldn't be there to drain out and go into like a puddle of white light where it would be transmuted. And as that stuff was draining out, the healing, loving white light would replace the space left behind. And it's been 10 years and they've been doing just fine and doing whatever they need to do. So I'm just thankful to be able to help people, and being completely honest, I don't really understand how it all works. I just know that it works. And I had another guy that, was a psychologist that I worked with, and he had this pain in his foot, like, right in the arch. Hold on. Right in the arch right here. And it was just hurting him so bad. And he had heard about the things that I do. And he said, you know, would you help me? I said, yeah, I'm willing to give it a shot. Absolutely. So I went in and he said, like, can I continue to work? I said, yeah, you do whatever you got to do. I said, I'll focus on what I need to focus on. And all I did was in my mind, I stared right into this space and I just took my thumbs. And I just imagined I kept going over the tendon. Visualizing the tendon, all of a sudden he closes his laptop and he's just sitting there focusing. And I said, you know, I said, your tendon knotted up because you were walking barefoot outside and, you know, you have a pebble driveway. I've never been to his house before. You have like a pebble driveway-ish type and you stepped on a pointy pebble and it just went up and twisted and knotted the tendon. He goes, how do you know that? I said, well, while I was working, I just asked your foot what the problem was. Now, how asinine does that sound, right? But that's the information that came back. And I'm like, what caused this? Because that helped me to figure out how to help him. And all it was it just needed to be kneaded like dough. And he said, I had to close my laptop because my foot was on fire. He said, you were nowhere near me and not touching me. My foot was on fire. And I didn't understand why or how. And I said, hey, man, as long as your foot's okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, and that's, you know, I think it's important. Like I told you before we did this show, I just kind of wanted to have two regular guys just talking about energy healing and their experiences. And I think that's exactly what we did. And it's, you know, so the people who are questioning it, like that are on the spiritual path and are maybe questioning themselves.
Yeah.
Relax. You know, it's just, you're a conduit and it's real and you're good. Yeah. The people who aren't sure, I mean, I think people should try it just for the experience, just for the ability to expand your mind. Yep. I mean, even if you never do it again, to be like, wow, I got some Reiki and I was relaxed for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And I never want to do it again. Well, that's cool.
Okay.
You know, but were you relaxed for a half an hour? That, you know, that's a pleasant experience, right? You get massages to go get relaxed. You go sit in a spa to relax. You know, not that you need to do it again. I'm not trying to talk people into doing it again if you don't like it. But there's most people at least experience a period of time of relaxation during it. So why not? You know, and I think this is our experience is one of our most valuable assets. So we need to go experience things. We're in an experiential reality. That's why we're here. So go experience things. Go experience some Reiki. And if you don't like it, never do it again. But at least expanding your mind to the possibility that there's other things out there that maybe we can't see.
Yep.
But that actually work. You know, and that's enough. I think it's just, you know, other than that, you just follow your own intuition. If you're thinking about getting attuned, get attuned. If you want to do it all the time, do it all the time. If you don't, whatever.
I would say just pay attention to the coincidences in life, because I've had way too many that just when I started to recognize them and then start paying attention to them and then follow them, like it led me to everything that I wanted. And I was
My God, yeah. That's the story of my life.
Yeah.
Which I've given on a few of these podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh, well, awesome, Brian. Thank you so much. I mean, it went by very fast. And it was fun, of course. I knew it would be. So thanks for coming on and sharing your experiences.
Yeah, man, anytime.
All right, good deal. All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Appreciate you. And I hope you enjoyed the show. Give us some comments and some feedback. And I saw Christopher tuned in and some other people. So thank you for watching, and we'll talk with you soon.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.